Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie.
Pretty good. I feel good today. I'll be honest, we're going to talk about being in a funk here today, but I feel like I've been in a little bit of a funk, and the last couple of days I felt a little more myself, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it does sense. What do you think these funks come from? I know it's different for everyone, but what about you?
Yeah.
Like, how do you think it comes about?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it in the context of chakras, because I think of a lot of things within that context, and that is like how our conversation is structured today. So I think it comes from a lot of different things, right? A lot of times it comes from external factors, and sometimes it's these like internal existential crises and things like that. But I do think they correspond with these energy centers. And I actually think what I've been feeling, besides like just physically not feeling my best this year, although I feel better now, which would be root related, is probably for me a very, very mild midlife crisis.
Well, you had a big year come up, Lauren.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. I was kind of looking at how people define that, and it's really about like a sudden drop in confidence. That's like one of the main factors, and kind of wondering about purpose. That's another one. And both of those to me, I think purpose can live in a couple of different chakras, you know. The way I want to talk about it today is very solar related, but for me, those are both like very solar plexus related. So I find myself, identity is part of it too. So it's, again, super mild for me. I'm not like about to go like leave my family and buy a Corvette or something like that, or, you know, like
all the things that you hear that people have when they have that midlife crisis. Yeah,
for sure. But I think there's this, this feeling of like needing to take a pause. I talked about this a little bit on the last episode, and just figure out what my needs are currently and what my family's needs are, and to be really intentional about what I'm doing. So, but part of that has been this like slight drop in confidence, which I do want to talk about today within the context of this chakra. I want to say that I think it's fine. It's okay for confidence to lower sometimes, you know? You know, things change, and there are certain things I had become very adept at through the years, and some things have changed. It's not me that's changed. It's just like industry, et cetera. So, it's okay, I think, for confidence to come and go, as long as there's an intrinsic sense of self-worth, and those are two different things. Yeah. So we'll talk about it more, but yeah, just a little, a mini midlife crisis. And it's
little mini.
It's funny because in my 20s, I really tried everything. And I used to joke, like, I'm doing all of this right now so that I don't have a midlife crisis. which is kind of funny, but like, I don't feel the need to like, I don't know. To go, I don't know, do a bunch of drugs or, you know, go out clubbing as a 40-year-old or anything like that. Not that that doesn't sound fun. Like, I'd love to go dancing some night, but it's, you know, it's not that kind of crisis.
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You're not trying to like gain some type of like aspect of your youth back that you thought you missed because you were too focused on whatever it was that got you to this point in life, and you're not fulfilled anymore.
No.
And you don't know who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's yeah. I feel that there are times where we I don't want to say have to, but it's just a normal part of like our cycle to lose confidence because we are in transition and change all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not always, especially you, like, yeah, you have your studio, but you're not doing the same things all the time, Lauren.
No.
And, you know, I know for me too, we were just talking beforehand, like things are changing. I thought that I was rocking this mom thing, you know, and circumstances change. The people in my life change. Things need to be shifted and moved around. And so my confidence meter has like definitely dropped. But I think instead of doing a full pivot and trying to be someone else, you know, like you said, really having a pause and having that intention behind like the things that I'm doing will help me build that confidence back, because then I can truly see what is and what isn't working.
Yeah. You know, and this is probably getting ahead of myself in this conversation, but it's not wise to be confident when you're new at something. You know what I mean?
Don't they call that cocky?
I think so. But I'm not going to go try like tightrope walking confidently. Like,
you know, like, girl, I'm not going to try tightrope walking, period. So
I think like learning how to, learning to be okay being bad at something for a while is more important than being confident, because then you earn the confidence after practice.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said. I like what you said. You said learning to be okay with being bad at something. But what does that mean? You're actually trying something. Mm-hmm. You're stepping outside of your comfort zone. You're taking action on it. You're actually doing the thing that's going to bring you towards that step where you're like, okay, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm kind of a badass now.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing with, I feel like with me, a massage, like I've been doing it for 12 years now, and I'm not going to, you know, yell like, I got this. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know everything, because I don't know everything. But the things that I do know, I'm pretty good at what I do. And I can go into a session really confident that I can help this person. Rashida, like 10 years ago, even 2 years after, I mean, I was okay. Mm-hmm. But I was still, you know, figuring things out at that point.
Yeah. I also say that approach of like being okay with not being so great at something, it fosters more of like a lightness and probably better performance, in my opinion, than being really worried about being bad. So just to ground this into some context, like you did, you know, I train yoga teachers every year, and I tell them like, it's okay to not be good at this yet. Like, this is brand new for you. If you have great teachers, they make it look easy, but it's not easy. And the more in their heads they are and the more attached they are to a great outcome when they haven't learned what they need to learn yet and haven't had enough practice yet, generally provides like a worse outcome than trying it, knowing maybe it's not going to be the best, but having like a positive attitude, you know? Like, I'll see somebody say the wrong word and they just like all of a sudden they start spiraling, and then they say, you know, keep misspeaking, and then they'll stop and kind of laugh, but it's not like a really funny laugh, it's like uncomfortable laugh. And yeah. And it's because they're really attached to being good when they're just not quite there yet, and that's okay. But I tell them, like, even teachers with a ton of practice, like, we mess up our words all the time. I do every single class, but it's like, how do you handle it, you know?
Well, and also too, like, as someone that's on the receiving end, I have been in many workshops, many classes, not yoga, but just in general, people will say the wrong thing, or they'll not do the right thing. And if I peep it, okay, I'll be like, all right, that wasn't right. But it's not like I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, she said the wrong.
Well, let's get into the episode. So we have two previous episodes in this series of basically getting out of a funk by tending to each chakra. So we already went through the root and the sacral and different strategies there. And today we're going to talk about the solar plexus. So you could also think of this as like different ways to activate and balance the solar plexus chakra. Solar plexus is the energy center located just above the navel. It's yellow and it is associated with worth, confidence, purpose, drive,
ego.
Yeah. Anger, even. I think boundaries can live in different chakras too, but there are certain types of boundaries. So a lot of times like career is associated with this, especially as far as like sense of purpose, determination, drive. So yeah, that's what we're getting into today. You ready?
I'm ready. So I am ready, but if someone's listening and they're like, well, I don't know if I need to balance this. Mm-hmm. We're going to go through all the things that would like indicate whether or not this might be out of alignment for them.
Yeah. So for most of the people we know, like our people, it's going to be a little underactive, more so than overactive. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That means like feeling not enough. That means feeling a little lost, maybe, like you aren't feeling like there's purpose behind your days. It might feel like lack of motivation and maybe having messy boundaries. Feeling like weak, I would say, would be another aspect of this being out of balance. If it's overactive, you're looking at somebody with like a super inflated ego. So that they're confident even when they shouldn't be. They think that they are more important than other people. And that might even look like really attaching their worth to their accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is kind of easy to do when you get raised a certain way. You
yeah,
know?
For sure. So, and I've had this question posed to me before. You can have symptoms, let's call them, of under and over at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just an imbalance.
Yep, it's just an imbalance. So I think of like, if we're thinking of them shaped as these beautiful flowers, it's like it becomes kind of amorphous.
Yeah.
Like an amoeba. So I actually wrote down a lot of different practices to help with this, but I'm going to try to cherry pick the five that stand out the most and we can expand upon them. And I'll say like, for me, I was talking about having this kind of like, lack of confidence that I'm used to having. So that would be a sign of it being a bit out of balance as well. So my first one is to set some goals. And when we're setting goals, it's important to be strategic about it. So to have like short-term and long-term goals, medium-term as well. So if I'm working with somebody on this or working with myself, we're typically looking at like the long-term goals first and then breaking them down into shorter-term goals. And I would say if you're especially in a funk, like paying more attention to the shorter term goals is really important, with the longer term goals being kind of your drishti. We've talked about that word before, like it's like the eyes on the prize type of thing. It's where you're focused, but like the juice is in the here and now. So how do we like create some wins for the here and now for you? So I also added that include some easy wins. So if you are, I mean, I have move and breathe on my to-do list every day. Those are goals that I have for every day. And if I can't do like a 15, 20-minute breathwork session, I can do a couple minutes of intentional breathing, right? And if I can't do 30 minutes of cardio or strength training, I can do a 10-minute walk. So
mm-hmm.
I try to leave those fairly open-ended, although I have a more strategic plan underneath so that I can check those off and feel like I accomplished something that day. You know, how does that resonate with you?
Yeah, that's really good. I feel like sometimes in our space, we think that having goals is a bit too masculine, and so we're not going to do that. But when you're wandering aimlessly towards this whatever dream or this whatever, you're not really giving yourself or clearing a real nice path for yourself to get there. And so you'll be on this like wave of just like trying this and trying that and flitting here and flitting there. And that journey could be wonderful and great. But when we think about the energetics behind that, like you're wasting a lot of energy on things that might really not have been meant for you. Could you use it along your path? I feel like, yes, everything we do, we can use on our path. But if we are really like, in a way, goal oriented, we kind of create boundaries. So we know exactly what to like, move in and work through, and we kind of create this path for ourselves, and there are pit stops along every path, right? Mm-hmm. There are pretty flowers and there's beautiful trees and there might be a creek down the way of any particular path, and you can go off on that and you can always come back. But if you have like, you know, when you go off and you're like, oh, I've been at this creek for like too many days, it's time to get back to my drift. It's time to get back to my goal, my focus, what it is. I just think it creates a more I don't want to say streamlined because it's not, but it just gives us more purpose, mm-hmm. a feeling of purpose instead of just kind of like, oh, being all free and floaty.
Yeah. Yeah. To ground that a little bit with my example, my long-term goal is health and longevity. I want to live a long time and I want to live in a way that feels healthy and vibrant where I can like soak the most out of life. And that's not something that you accomplish one time and then you're done. Like it does take daily habits to create that. So for me, moving and breathing are just, you know, they're part of that long-term goal. So yeah, I can't just like manifest my way into health. Like I can't visualize myself into health. I have to do stuff. Got to do it.
Yes. And this is also like when we think about, you know, obviously this is your spiritual besties. We love talking about this stuff, but we're very physical. We have physical bodies. We're very human and we have to do those human things, you know, that will help support us in our spirituality, even though it's all intertwined, right? Yeah. But I think it's important to talk about that.
For sure. And this next one's sort of an offshoot of the first one, which is writing a to-do list. I think it can be really nice to put things in writing. I will do it on my phone sometimes, but I do have a like an agenda or journal where I write my to-do list for the week, usually on Sundays. And I would say like if you're in a funk, don't write like a 20-point to-do list for each day. Like that's not going to serve you. Do something that's attainable. Are there 3 things? Are there 5 things that you know you can cross off? Great. And in addition to that, I like taking a little bit of time at the end of the day to think about what I did that day. So not just like what I'm going to do and what I'm checking off, but like I really go through the mental checklist of like, what did I actually do? Because there are some days that, especially with kids and stuff, where they don't feel that productive necessarily. But then when I go back through and really think about it, I'm like, wow, like I served in so many ways today. I tried in so many ways. I loved in so many ways. And I think that's worth honoring.
Yeah, I really like that. And especially when you said don't give yourself 20 things to do in a day, especially if you're in this funk. And I think that's so important. And also too, for those of us who don't really have like the focus to like, or we get overwhelmed or have anxiety around this long particular list. I know that was me. I thought, okay, I had to like write my goals down and it had to be these bullet points and it has to be this and that. And then I would look at it and be like, okay, well, I guess I'll just go do something else. Mm-hmm. And so, because I was doing that, I was just putting too much on my plate, but I've gotten to the point like you do, Lauren. It's not every Sunday, but at some point in my week, I will make a to-do list and I'll just unload everything that's in my head that I want to get done, that I need to get done. And then I will keep that list around. And every day I'll come to it and say, okay, what can I do? Mm-hmm. And if the list has to like be put over to the next week, then it just gets put over to the next week. But I love having like that kind of plan for the day.
Yeah, it is helpful. And I think you know, based on the person, you may need more or less structure, and figuring out that out for yourself is important. So I love that. The next one I added was more physical. So I added resistance training, but it can be any like difficult movement really, or like strengthening movement. So we went over movement in the root chakra because the body is an important, like taking care of the body is an important aspect of that one. But for this one, I'm particularly talking about strengthening. And I have a chapter in this, in my book, but it's to become strong, you have to have resistance. If everything is easy all the time, you don't gain strength. It just doesn't work that way. So I know I'm talking about the physical right now, but it's all very metaphorical too. So anything that's going to help you feel strong increases worth and confidence, in my opinion. Or that's been my experience for sure. It's really hard to live your life feeling weak, especially when there's a lot you want to do. So that doesn't necessarily have to look like weight lifting, but it might be like, okay, instead of an easeful walk, I'm going to walk uphill, right? Or it might be like, instead of yin yoga, I'm going to do vinyasa yoga today, or hatha yoga. So there are different ways to cultivate that strength, but it pays dividends in your life because it lets you know, one, I can do hard things, and two, the hard things don't last forever. Mm-hmm. And three, the hard things become easier over time because I'm stronger.
Yes.
So that one I love. And that made such a huge impact in my life when I really started focusing on my yoga practice. It was the first time I had felt strong in years. And it was like the strongest, actually, I had ever felt. And it really spread to other areas of my life. And I was able to, like we were talking about, approach things knowing I might not be able to do them or might not be very good at them at first, and know that if I keep showing up, that I'll get stronger and maybe eventually be able to master it. So.
Yeah, and I think this is just a great indicator. Again, it kind of like plays back into the first thing we were talking about, but resistance training or trying hard things or going for that extra thing that's going to cause you maybe to sweat a little bit or get your heart rate up, or you're just like, there's no way in the world I can do that. For instance, there's this park for me that I take Macy to, and they have this really cool walking trail, but it's literally like uphill, you come across, and then it's downhill, and then like circles at the bottom, and then it's like up. And this hill, it's like steep. And the first time I was doing it, like I had to stop so many times. And I mean, it sucked. My calves were on fire. It sucked. I was breathing really heavy at the top. But as I kept doing it, I realized, oh shit, like I didn't have to stop halfway this time. I actually can get to the top. Now, am I walking a little bit slower to come around to the down part? Yeah, but at the same time, I'm pushing myself in a way that I can actually see progress. And what better way to build like that confidence and that self-worth, knowing that like, damn, you did this on your own accord. Like you can do this. Mm-hmm. You have the power to push through. And like you said, Lauren, like it sucks. It's hard. Mm-hmm. But having that, you know, feeling of just accomplishment and like, hell yeah, I can do this, is worth it. And it, you know, really taps into that solar plexus.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to practice it in that way too, because the stakes are low, right? Like whether or not you go up that hill isn't going to have a lot of like consequence in your life necessarily.
Right.
But you doing that over and over is going to have a huge positive effect in so many different ways, not just physically, you know?
No, I agree. And like, we can look at this in any aspect. Like, as you were saying that, what are ways, like, you know, especially if we feel like we might be feeling stuck in this area, you know, in our confidence and self-worth, what are things that we're just like not deciding to do? Like, what are things that we're like kind of like turning our back on that we know we probably can do it, but it's just, it just seems so hard right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe taking that step and that leap, I think that that step is like what is activating this particular center, like just mm-hmm. that motion forward, just like the yes. actual, like, okay, I'm going to do this thing, you yeah. know?
It's like getting out of the inertia. This, like,
yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It takes like kinetic sure. energy, right? It takes that like spark of something to move forward.
Yes.
And that, yes. that might not mean strength training or walking up a hill. That might mean, okay, I'm going to make that therapist appointment that I've been putting off for a long time. Or it might mean like, I'm going to have that hard conversation with my partner that I've been putting off for a long time. Or I'm going to sign up for that yoga class that I've been kind of wanting to do, but have like, you know what I mean? Or
yes,
clean out the closet just that I've been procrastinating. There's so many different applications.
Yes. But once you do it, once you start it, and even if you like fall off from time to time, because that's, I mean, hello, that's me. I fall off a lot, but then I come back to myself. I'm like, you know, I felt really good doing this. Like, let me keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And then when it's accomplished or when it's done, if it's a task or the walk or whatever, like, you just feel so good about yourself. And you like, it's, and that's not outside of you. I feel like in this world where we're trying to like fill ourselves up from what's coming in outside, we really have to, like, in order to build that confidence, that self-worth, that like inner knowing, like that fire, I always think of like a little fire you're stoking when it comes to the solar plexus, mm-hmm. right? You have to like have that come from within, and these little small actions, these little things, it's you making that choice to actually like get on this path and do this thing is coming from within.
Yeah.
You know, nothing outside of you is going to fill that tank up long term than you doing it, that, you know, you being the initiator. Mm.
Yeah, I love that. All right, the next one I have is set an intention in the morning and return to it throughout the day. I'm a yoga teacher. We always do intention setting before class. But especially if you're struggling with a sense of purposelessness, this can be really helpful. You don't have to know what your like dharma is or your grand purpose in life necessarily to apply this. It's more just thinking about like, how do I want to feel today? Or how do I want others to feel yeah. around me? You know, this isn't
goals either. No, this isn't the same thing.
No.
Yeah.
It's setting an intention. And I'll like loop or circle in affirmations with this, because an intention and an affirmation to me can be interchangeable. So it might be like, you know, I am strong. Maybe that's it. I am strong. And it's something you can repeat to yourself throughout the day. And your intention is to build strength, to feel strong. Especially if you know you have a hard day coming up, right? It's better than going into everything with a defeated attitude.
For sure. Well, you've already lost at that point, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. And intention can be so simple. It's like, I want to laugh today. You know, and then you're going to make choices to like create the conditions for that. What are some intentions that you have?
Yeah, for me, recently it's been, I want to feel connected to my children. Mm. And that one has been huge, because the choices that I make throughout the day, is this serving me and what I'm intending for the day? And is it not? You know, I am a great mother. There are times recently where I have not felt that way, but I am affirming that I am. And deep down, I know that I am, but my circumstances might point that things aren't working out the way I intended, but I am a great mother. My children matter. So those affirmations and really that intention has been on my daily.
Yeah, I love that.
And you know, also,
oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Mm-mm, go ahead.
I forgot what I was going to say.
No, I was just going to like change it a little bit too. And when we're thinking about affirmations and intentions, like I also bring, for me personally, I bring music into like the energetics of what I'm trying to feel and what I want for my day. Like I have a bunch of different playlists, and recently I've put a playlist together and it's called Bad Bitch Energy, because I just want to feel that like, hell yeah, I got this. I'm powerful. I'm strong. I am that bitch, right? And whether you think that's like a negative word or not, I know for me, when I say that, like, it's just like that oomph, like I'm wearing like stiletto heels and I got like that, my hair done and my nails are all and I got the makeup on and I'm just like walking through feeling that way. And so sometimes I start my day that way too, to kind of give me that little like boost of confidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually brings me into the next one, because I love what you said.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is, it's really simple. Like, wear your favorite clothes or spend extra time on your appearance. And we know, like, it's the inside that matters and it's the appearance that counts. It's not really about the appearance. It's about the way it makes you feel. So if you're in clothes that are uncomfortable or, like, frumpy, which is fine. I wear frumpy clothes all the time. You're probably not going to walk out of the house feeling like a bad bitch, you know? And that's okay if that's not your intention for the day. But if it is, dress like a bad bitch, whatever that means to you.
Yes. Whatever that means. I love that so much. And when you think about like taking that extra time, and I know like we're both moms, sometimes like we don't get to go to the bathroom in peace, but I know for me in the mornings, I have included my children in on that extra time it takes to put my serums on, to do my toner, to put my moisturizer on, to maybe put my eyeliner on, to pretend that I'm putting eyeliner on them, to put my black castor oil on my eyebrows and my eyelashes. Like I've included them and they love it. Their little pudgy hands are like up asking for stuff that they don't even know what they're doing for. And it just makes me feel really good because I get to take that time. I'm still being connected to my children and I get to feel good about myself throughout the day. And I'll also say too, adornment is a way to like invite more of that sacred feminine energy in anyway. So we're like always looking to be like, how can I be more sacred? How can I be more, you know, in this like energy? But like, those are like total like goddess vibes, right? And if you're looking to like bring that in into your space, into your life more, like taking the time to adorn yourself is really gonna help you bring in that energy, and even setting the intention as you're doing it. Like I love wearing earrings. I think I look weird without earrings, but I just love the way they feel on me. I love having things in my hair. I love adorning my hair. I love taking the time to have those things, not just to do it, but I just really feel like I'm embodying a little bit more of my sacred feminine, that essence, that like just like that femininity when I take the time to do those things. And don't get me started when I can like throw some lines on my eyes, like just feels really good. And if we're talking about the solar plexus, we're talking about confidence and self-worth, all of that plays a part in that. Do I need those things? No, I don't need it. Does it make me feel good? Is that coming in from the inside to like help me like shine my light a little bit brighter? Yes.
Yeah, I love that. I'll add a couple of things to that. The first is one of my favorite quotes from RuPaul, who actually got it from a queen a long time ago, but it's, we're all born naked and the rest is drag. So we get to choose like how we present ourselves to ourselves and the world. And everyone is making that choice every single day. It's not just a fabulous drag queen, you know, who spends hours getting ready and is putting together a look. But we're all deciding that, whether or not like unconsciously or consciously, every day, of like what frequency we're emitting by our appearance. Right.
I love that. Exactly. The frequency.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And the second is just to refer back to our episode with Susanna Merrick, who is our AuraWare. If you want to play more with this idea within a structure, she has such a beautiful system for thinking about, like, how do I want to feel today? How do I want to present myself to the world? Like, what aura color does that correspond with? And how do I put together a fit that will express that? So I love that. Like, one example, I can't remember the corresponding aura color. Maybe it's orange, but it's like, it's masculine. It's like, okay, maybe I'm wearing a floral dress, but I'm going to throw a leather jacket on top of it. And that's going to give me that little bit of an edge to feel like how I want to feel today.
Yes. And it's all like it's all just like adornment. It's all like just adding layers to this like physical body that we get to have. And like, what are we going to take from it, right? It's not what anyone else is going to take from it. It's what you're going to take. Because Lauren, someone might be like, girl, that does not go. But you know what it means to you, right? You know how it's making you feel. And I think when we really like look into like setting our intentions in the morning and coming from that place, doesn't necessarily matter too much. The outside noise, we can still like feel like our intentions, what we're trying to do, soak that in and be that frequency that we're trying to set for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Okay. I think this will be the last one I share, which is ask a friend that you care about to share your strengths and superpowers or superpowers with you. And like we've talked about, you know, a lot of times self-worth, confidence come from the inside, but I think it's important to get outside. It's important to get that outside opinion as well from people who love you and want the best for you.
Yes, for sure. Don't go up to a stranger.
No. And, you know, you're not asking necessarily about physical things, although if they tell you you have a great ass, like, great, that can feel really good too. But like, yeah, what are the things that make you special? And it can be really beautiful and touching to hear that from someone else's eyes. And, you know, you don't ask somebody that every day, right? Because it just it feels a little desperate.
Might get a bit conceited.
Little desperate. But, a little bit. But I think just really confiding in somebody that you love and asking them that and maybe letting them know why. I've done it before, usually as part of an assignment, but the results are really beautiful. And a lot of times the reason that the outside opinion or viewpoint is so important is because oftentimes they see things that you can't see.
Mm-hmm. No, I love this so much. And I definitely agree. I know before we started our training, there was an exercise that asked this, or maybe we were into it a little bit, that asked, like, we had to ask like three friends or something like that. And I was very shocked by what my friends said about me, because I never saw myself in the way that they see me, and all of the strengths that they listed and all of like these traits, I was like, wow, okay. And some of them too, like, I'm like, this is what I totally want to give off. And this is totally the kind of friend I want to be. But also as well, seeing these other things that I don't necessarily think about when I'm in my friend groups, you know. And I think this is such a huge eye-opening practice to have, maybe once a year, maybe every couple of years, whatever the case may be, with someone in your inner circle. That way, you know, they can help fill that tank a little bit. And also too, like, I think it's the opposite, Lauren, as well. Like, when we might be getting signs from the universe or people around us that we're just like being like, I mean, I'm never an asshole, but just, you know, you might be getting these hits that you might be coming across a certain type of way. Like, having that person who's going to be upfront and honest with you to kind of help you put things in check as well. Like, you know, I'm not intending this, but this is what's been said to me. What's your opinion on this? And knowing that they're just not going to tell you what you want to hear, because I see that a lot in friendships. Like, that's why it's so important to have like that inner circle. Mm-hmm. So someone's like super honest and raw and real with you, but they come from a compassionate and loving way. And I think that's so important.
Yeah.
So I love this practice.
Yeah. I'll add to that, because when I wrote this, it was kind of coming from the place of an underinflated or a weaker solar plexus, but it's good to do both. One of the assignments my teacher trainees have, it's from their philosophy book, Living the Sutras, is to ask someone else who cares about them, their strengths and weaknesses, and to write down how they see their own strengths and weaknesses as well. And I have found that both have been equally important in someone's journey of like self-discovery and development, because especially the people that I work with, generally their weaknesses point to their strengths and help them refine their strengths. So to give an example, someone's weakness that their friend or partner, whoever, points out is that they can be people pleasers, right? Or maybe that they have like poor boundaries or something like that. And typically that just points to that person being really giving. And that's usually one of their strengths. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it helps them figure out like, okay, how do I continue to exhibit this strength or superpower while creating like proper boundaries and respecting myself more, you know?
And that's, you know, like even tapping into the self, even tapping into like what it is that I'm truly wanting. I think a lot of this like comes from the fact that maybe sometimes we're like not turning in and really asking ourselves these questions, which is such a great lens to have, look at the chakra system, because it kind of gives you like a guideline of like what to look at. But I love this exercise and practice so much, because you're right. I feel like a lot of our weaknesses are our strengths, just in an unaligned way. It's just not, there's just something off about it.
It's like every light has a shadow and every shadow has a light. And by looking at the shadows, we can refine, we can be kinder to ourselves and to others. So yeah, this exercise requires a lot of bravery. Bravery lives in this chakra for sure. So I would say, like, you know, maybe that's your show of strength today too, is to reach out to somebody and ask, because it really is wonderful. You know, part of my job is giving critique, and I always explain to people, like, I promise you this is coming from a place of love, because I want to see you elevated. Like, I want to see you at your best eventually with practice, you know? So I'm not telling you any of this to tear you down in any way. I want to build you up. But it's good to know. It's good to know what your blind spots are. It's good to know what can be worked on. So, yeah. I like including that.
I think that, yeah, for sure. And I just kind of want to, like, go back to what you were saying. You say that you know, you give a lot of critiques. And I think in life, and like for the rest of us who choose to do certain programs or whatever, and we're grouped with people, like there are moments where we do have to critique or give our feedback. And if Lauren were to tell all of her students, you're great, that's amazing, oh, you'll get it next time, oh, don't worry about it, you're not really going to bring really great teachers out of your program. You're not doing them any favor, any service, by protecting them from the disappointment of not getting that thing correctly this particular time. And I think that we should look at that and learn from that, because there are times when we are being asked to give those critiques or give that feedback to the people that we love, or maybe our teammates or groupmates, whatever the case may be. And because we don't want to, quote unquote, hurt their feelings, we're not giving them compassionate feedback. And it really isn't compassion if you're just not really giving them honest feedback as well. Yeah. You're kind of doing them a disservice. And this is where the feeling to give that feedback comes from, is in the solar plexus chakra, because you do have to be confident in what you're giving back and what you're saying. So really working on yourself internally, you're able to like then in turn come from a place of like not overly confident, but compassion and confidence to give someone that feedback that they need to hear as well. I mean, and I also think of like corporate America, right? Like when I was in corporate, there were so many times that I got feedback and it just sucked. Mm-hmm. It felt so wrong, right? And there were times that I would give feedback to my team, and even though that they knew that they were off in this section or whatever, they weren't following this particular procedure correctly. We talked about it. We hashed it out, and I was confident in what I was doing in my job to be able to talk to them about it. So it's not just like a spiritual lens either. Like, look at it in your workspace, mm-hmm. look at it in your home space. All of these things like really play into like that confidence in this particular area of the chakras. Yeah.
I love that. I feel like I could keep talking. I'm like, do I keep talking about this or do I?
I think we've like landed okay. it. I think it's, I feel like we could totally keep going. Yeah. I feel like there's so many things, but that's also a great segue to ask our besties if they have any questions. Like, please talk to Lauren, like reach out to Lauren and what she thinks. She is the baddie on this, I feel like, of the two of us anyway. Like, you're like, whatever, Rashida. But yeah, you're so knowledgeable and you have so much wisdom and perspective to share around this, that if there's something that you are trying to like decide whether this is relatable or not, like just reach out to us, like yeah. email or on Insta. We'll be happy to chat. Well,
thanks
with
you. For saying that. And that actually brings me to one more thing, Rashida, which is like, you just gave me some flowers and I'm going to accept them, you know? But one of the things I actually do is like nice things that people say to me, not verbally, but like in writing. I found a card this morning, actually. I was going through some stuff. I screenshot it or take a picture of it and then I put it into a folder on my phone. That I can go through if I'm having a bad day or if my confidence is low. So in regards to feedback, a lot of times we can really attach to the constructive or what we might call negative at times. So it's really important, I think, to hold on to the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I love that. See, you're so smart because I literally have cards from years and years and years hanging around because I just do not want to get rid of it. And every now and then I like to look at it, but I do need to take a picture. Just put it in a folder. It takes it. No space. No space.
Yeah, it really doesn't. The folder is called positive feedback on my phone.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because it's easy to forget, you know. And I forget to screenshot stuff or take pictures of it sometimes. And it's a fairly new thing for me. But yeah, I don't want to, like, I want to listen to the constructive stuff and apply it. But I don't want that to be my main focus all the time because that's where I can go.
Yes.
I know that about myself. Yeah. So I need mm-hmm. to smell my flowers sometimes, you know.
And know that you are amazing, wonderful. Yes, for sure. Well, friend, this has been great. I feel amazing after this conversation. Besties, I hope you do as well. This has been really fun to chat about. Lauren, thank you so much for all of your wisdom and your guidance. Yeah.
Thank you, friend. So I love you so much.
Love you. All right. Talk soon.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.